What's up, everybody? Welcome to another exciting show of The Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, the Big Boss, and I'm here with my man, the Professor. What's up, bro?
No, nothing much, man. You know, no, nothing real special coming out today or anything like that.
But we all know the truth.
Oh, we know the truth.
Today is Infinity War Day. Oh, the trailers. The second trailer came out, and we're still reeling from this trailer, man.
Like, it's the final trailer before the release, and it is bananas. It's so good.
Yeah, I don't think I processed the release date for Infinity War until this trailer. Like, till this morning, I was like, oh, crap. Like, this movie is coming out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, this is wow. I'm so ready for this.
Well, not 2 weeks. It's a month and 2 weeks. 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah, it's April.
April 24th.
It's April. It's April 27th. I was thinking March 27th.
That's what I meant.
All right. Yeah. False alarm. False alarm. Got extra excited. It was heart palpitations, everything. So
it's like, wait a minute, 2 weeks. That's two. Oh no, that's not right.
But this
trailer will hold you all over till that time.
I'm telling you,
it's amazing.
I'm sure we got all the detectives out there trying to dig for clues in this trailer. We tried to dig a little bit and pull some stuff for you guys. So we'll share for you what's going on and what we think is going to happen. Because Professor our trailer expert for today. He's got some insights
so far.
Yeah, man. So, but yeah, I'm excited. Some of those theories that you gave me, I'm pretty excited for it. So
I'm pretty sure some of those theories are pretty spot on too. But
nice. We'll get into that. All right. Well, let's go ahead and dig into it today. We're doing a pre-recorded show. The Big Boss is going on vacation. Need to relax because the world. Nice. Stresses me out. Oh man, yeah, it's been a long time coming because I didn't do anything huge last year, so I played it like local, maybe taking one day here or there. So this is gonna be nice little cruise with the family, getting to soak in some rays, see some islands. Ah, oh, man, going on some adventures. So
very nice.
Yeah, man. So got this little pre-recorded show for you, so we're not going to have any weekend box office today. So we're going to dive right into the news and just look at some of the items. And then we got our part two of the Crossing Streams episode. So we're going to do the Marvel Avengers characters.
Yep.
Cast with DC actors, DCEU actors. So this should be interesting. I'm pretty sure me and the professor are going to be completely different on the things that we picked here, because this was probably the hardest fan cast we had to do.
Yeah, I'm going to guess we've probably got one or two similar. Other than that, I think we're going to be very, very different.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'll just run through some what's coming out this week and give you some reviews of some of the things that we saw over the past week. Jessica Jones Season 2. I started the Assassin's Creed Origins Curse of the Pharaoh DLC, which is probably like a whole game in and of itself. Like, this was a really good DLC. So, and then we'll wrap it up. So let's dig right in.
All right.
So first up in the TV news, we got Cloak and Dagger. We're getting some early reactions for that show, and they are receiving very high praise, which is good news. It's good news. I'm excited for it because if it's anything like The Runaways, we're going to get a surprising story with some characters, some interesting characters, and, you know, maybe a look at into the environment in which they're living. So I think it's supposed to take place in Louisiana. So, you know, that's always an interesting place to tell stories, especially in the modern day. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one, man.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be kind of skeptical till it comes out and I get to sit and watch it. You know, I kind of thought the same thing about The Runaways, and I finally sat down to watch The Runaways, and it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. So,
yeah.
Just be along the same lines. You know, I'll be waiting to check it out and give it a shot and see how we do.
Yeah, man. So, we'll keep you guys posted with any release dates. Anything that we get, we'll let you know exactly when Cloak and Dagger is coming out. There's trailers out there online, so check it out. And send us your thoughts, man. We'd definitely love to hear them. So next up, let's take a look at season two of Iron Fist. Now, season one didn't really go down with everybody the best way possible, but we got some new characters. Hopefully, we're in the lore enough now so we can get some more character exploration and maybe some better action. I don't know. Wishful thinking.
I mean, it can't be any less. The first one, I would hope.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, and look, I didn't dislike the first season. I just didn't think it was as good as it could have been.
Yeah. It definitely had potential to be something great. I think where they decided to tell the story, I mean, I would have gone a different route. But I mean, it's what it is, and it was a good build up for the Defenders. I think that's really what it was used for. It was used to set up the whole environment for the Defenders. So, you know, I'm cool with that. As long as we get an opportunity to really see Iron Fist kind of stand on its own this season and maybe get some better action, some more character exploration, I should be satisfied. But we got some pictures out. Looks like season two on the set. We got Alice Eve, some pictures of her. She's going to be on this season. I am a fan of Alice Eve. So, if she's making this decision to be on this show, I'm all for it. So, and hopefully she's doing some fighting too. She looks like she's carrying Danny, trying to make sure he's all right. So, I mean, it looks good. It's nothing too revealing, but I'm excited to see where the story's going this season.
Yeah, I mean, the image looks like quick couple of images. Looks like maybe he fell from something, they're on a construction site. Looks like maybe he fell and landed on something, broke his leg or hurt his leg.
Yeah.
She's helping him out. Like, the last shot is kind of them, like, waiting for the next shot to be, you know, to go. You can see, like, there's equipment in the shot and whatnot. They're just kind of sitting around.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be curious. Looks like, I thought I saw a screen the other day with him and Luke Cage. The same screeny. I don't know if that was from Luke Cage 2 or if that's from Iron Fist 2.
Oh, man, but I'm guessing.
Luke Cage 2, June 22nd. That's what's coming.
Yeah.
I'm guessing we're going to start seeing some crossover between the two since they eventually become the Heroes for Hire. You know, the two-man team that kind of helps run some parts of New York.
Yeah.
You know, protect, I should say. So I imagine we'll see some crossover on both series between the two of them. So I think we're headed towards a Heroes for Hire series, honestly.
That's awesome. I love that. I'm definitely excited for that. When watching them, it's like you can say what you want about, you know, Iron Fist season one, because I mean I have my thoughts and opinions on it, but watching Luke and Danny Rand on screen together in the Defenders was so rewarding. Like you could see that budding friendship, and that it's gonna be if you're looking for like a good buddy cop feel with within the superhero genre, I think Heroes for Hire is going to give us that. I would definitely like to see that. So,
yeah, I get that feeling too.
Yeah. Next up in the news, we got some Flash news. Kevin Smith, and Jason Mewes, popular from the cult classic Mallrats, etc. I mean, they've been in tons of films together. Silent Bob and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Like, they're supposed to be guest starring on The Flash. This is great news, especially if Kevin Smith is going to be directing that episode. That'd be nice.
I believe that he is, because I've heard him talking about it.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, it's the two of them together, Jay and Silent Bob, started with Clerks, Chasing Amy, Mallrats, Dogma, everything since then. I could go down the whole list, easily. I remember hearing him talk about this, I believe might have been on the last Fat Man on Batman podcast, where he's directing another episode, which is great. Cass seems to love him. He loves doing it. The role, I know it's not Jay and Silent Bob, I don't think, unless they kind of switch it around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they had a role open for a security guard, and they asked Kevin if he would do it. And they had a second security guard, and they were like, well, does Jay want to do it? He was like, I'm quite sure he's going to want to do it. apparently, every time he goes to film The Flash, Jay tries to squeeze himself into the trip so he can try to weasel himself onto the show. He's been on the show before. he did a brief cameo. I forget who the supervillain was, but he destroys a car in the parking lot. And Jay comes out with some girl, and he's like, but that's my mom's car! And the car gets all messed up. I wish I remember the episode. It was only like 30 seconds. But he's been in the show before. And he was also one of Zoom's minions. Remember the scene where Zoom has got like a bunch of guys in like military suits around him at the end of the one episode where they're all cheering?
Uh-huh.
Zoom's trying to take over. He was one of those guys in the suits.
Oh, wow.
So Muse has been on the show a couple times, but now it's actually going to be the two of them together for the first time on the show. I can't wait. I love those two. I love the show. It's going to be awesome.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I'm definitely excited for that one, man. Kevin Smith is always a great director when he's on The Flash, and just his pairing is solid. It's always been good, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think one thing I had recently considered is like we've been making a lot of theories or talks about the DCEU and where they could put in what like the biggest problem that they have is that they don't have anybody to oversee it like Kevin Feige.
Right.
I don't know. Kevin Smith would be a great candidate for that.
You know, I don't think he would do it, to be very honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he would think it was probably too much responsibility, and he would think that any minute now that the hammer was going to fall and they would get rid of him for doing it. But I agree with you that he would be great at it. I mean, he's already, you know, a comic icon as far as comics go. He's written a couple different DC comics. He's written a couple different Marvel comics. He's got his own comic book shop. You know, he's got his own podcast called Fat Man on Batman. So clearly he's a DC fan of the Batman himself. The guy knows his stuff. So he would definitely be someone who could handle that. I don't think they would ask him, unfortunately, but B, I don't think he would do it. I think he would, I hate to say it, but I think he would kind of chicken out. He would shy away from it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're probably right. You're probably right. I really, this is just wishful thinking, so maybe something will happen. Stars will align, and we'll get to see Kevin Smith running the DCEU, at least directing a few. Doing the Justice League movies, maybe? I don't know. They need a new director for that.
I don't know. He's... You know, all the time the stuff comes up, like when the Flash directors for the movies got bumped, you know, his buddies on all his podcasts would be like, oh, you know, Kevin Smith's available. And his response is always, they're not calling Kevin Smith to direct these movies. They don't want the Flash running around quoting lines from Clerks that I will save the people from the podcast since we try to keep it a little on the PG side. they don't want my dialogue in a superhero movie, so... You know, he's like, they're not going to call me to do it. Not that I wouldn't try it, but they're not going to call me to do it. So,
man,
I would love to see it. I think he would crush a superhero movie, but they're not. I kind of unfortunately think he's right. I kind of think he's in a
different space.
Not that he's a different space, but I think he's kind of pigeonholed into a certain category of.
Oh, I see.
Almost a potty humor, you know, guy, for lack of a better choice of words. And I don't know if they would let him do a big name movie like that.
True. Yeah. Well, here's hoping maybe something. I mean, at least for now, we'll get him on Flash TV. So I'm good with that.
He's doing Flash. He's doing Supergirl every now and again.
Yep.
You know, with any luck, they'll let him do an Arrow because I know he wants to do an Arrow.
Yeah.
You know, he created one of the more fun villains in the Arrowverse when he did his run on Arrow in the comics. And he wants to bring it to TV. Stephen Amell wants him to bring it to Arrow. I just don't know when they would do it or if they'll do it.
Yeah, that'll be dope. Yeah. Oh, let's take a look. Next up, we got some Titans TV show news. Basically, there's an episode list that's been released, and we're getting to see what's going on as far as the plot and the story is concerned. And one of the episodes is titled Jason Todd. So we may get an appearance by Jason Todd in the Titans TV show, which would pretty much... For me, seal the deal with Titans and help me understand, like, okay, this is going to be a pretty gritty show. Because the Red Hood is not a slouch character at all.
True. Well, that's what I'm wondering. Are we getting the Red Hood Jason Todd, or are we getting a Robin Jason Todd? I'd imagine we're getting the Red Hood, because there should already be a Robin at that point.
Yeah, because he's Nightwing at that point.
Well, right. He was the first Robin. He goes on to become Nightwing. Todd, I think, is the second Robin.
Uh-huh.
And he goes on to become the Red Hood because we think he's dead because the Joker beats him to death with a crowbar, but he comes back to life because of the Lazarus Pit. And then there is...
Tim Drake.
After Jason. Tim Drake is the next one, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm imagining that this Robin in Teen Titans will be Tim Drake. And there will be a Nightwing somewhere if they have a Robin as opposed to just Nightwing. And then Jason Todd will be, you know, the guy who used to be Robin. But are they going to go the full the full deal and have him actually have been killed at some point. That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen the cast list for the Titan show, and they've already cast it. Like, the main character is going to be Dick Grayson, and he's already going to be Nightwing.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, they're pretty much, to me, from the shots that I've seen, the character shots, and then this episode list, it looks like it's going to be pretty dark, pretty gritty. So we're going to see some Jason Todd as Red Hood. Hopefully there's going to be a few more Batman references. Maybe we'll get a Batman appearance. I would love that. The catch 22 with this show is that it's going to be on DC's streaming service. So this is going to be a paid for service that people are going to have to access in order to watch this show. It's not going to be something that's going to be on regular standard broadcast. So I'll be interested to see how it does. I mean, the casting looks solid. Hopefully the story's good, and that it has some longevity. But I think in the long run, they're going to realize, like, we need to get this out to the masses. So
yeah. Too many places are trying to do their own streaming services now, and it's going to get a little ridiculous to have to try to expect people to pay, you know, $5 a month here, $6 a month here, $12 a month here for, you know, a dozen different streaming services. People just aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
So at some point, they're going to have to start to figure out other ways to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. So let's dig into some game news. I'm kind of excited about this. It's not really news, but it's just like something that was noticed online. So I'm a big Tom Clancy Splinter Cell fan. If you play Assassin's Creed, that I can pretty much guarantee you're going to like Splinter Cell. It's very, like, it's stealth based tactical combat. And basically, I heard a report that Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell 2018, the title that showed up on Amazon's Canadian website, popped up for a little bit for pre-order, and then it just disappeared. Now it's down. I haven't really heard many instances of Amazon putting something up on their site that's not going to eventually show up.
Right.
So hopefully this is good news in the realm of Splinter Cell, and we'll get a new edition, maybe a reboot, for the next gen consoles. Because I've been waiting for a Splinter Cell update for the longest time, but we just never got it. We got Blacklist on 360, which was a really solid game, and I thought that they would probably make it backwards compatible on one, but never got any news about it. And, you know, now we're hearing this. So hopefully we get a little bit of something this year. That would be great to look forward to. Have you played Splinter Cell, Professor?
I played one of the original ones ages and ages ago. I don't remember if it was for the original PlayStation or PlayStation 2. I forget. It was one of those. I don't remember. It might have even been Splinter Cell, like the first one.
Yeah.
I liked it. I remember liking it, but I was never really too good at the games that rely more on stealth than the combat.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember one of the first ones, whichever one it was I played, was real heavy on the stealth portion.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at that. I'm too impatient to, you know.
Yeah, because you could sit in a level for hours trying to make sure you get all the layouts right and make sure that you don't get caught. Like, it is a lot. The game requires patience.
Yeah, and that's something I just don't have. Like, I love the Batman Arkham Asylum series.
I hate it
when it's a board to get past where you have to stealth around to get everybody, or you just can't get past it.
Yeah.
You know, you know, if one of the guards sees you, they immediately kill the prisoner. You're like, son of a... Inevitably, whoever the prisoner is dies 18 times before I finally figure out what I'm doing and actually, you know, get through stealth-wise. So,
yeah, yeah.
But I haven't played one of those in a long time, to be honest with you. But I did play, and I did enjoy it originally.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and if it's still getting made by Ubisoft, I'm liking everything that they do. Got Division, got Assassin's Creed. Did they do Uncharted? Or is that Eidos?
No, Uncharted was... Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog, yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, like most of the Tom Clancy series, I believe, is all Ubisoft. So even Ghost Recon, Wildlands, all of those, it's all Ubisoft. So They've been making great stuff, so I'm definitely down if they continue this. But as far as we know, it's just conjecture, it's just rumor. It was could have just been an accident on Amazon's part. But if I find out anything, I will be letting you guys know.
There you go.
Yeah. So let's dive into some movie news. Got some news about Deadpool 2. Got some reshoots going on at the end right now, and we're gonna be getting some more Cable and some more Domino after positive reactions from their previews, their critic previews.
Right.
So I'm excited. This is good news. It's nice to know that these characters are being well received in the previews leading up to the debut of the movie. And so if they're going to add more Deadpool, more Domino, I'm all for it. I'm just hoping that it's not rushed and it's not like something that feels like thrown on at the end, you know.
It's interesting because the first report I heard from this when they started doing the viewings was that people didn't like it.
Oh, wow.
Now it was all anonymous feedback, and it was one person who they kept quoting the same one person who, you know, it said it was, you know, it didn't I forget exactly what their quote was, but it was very negative, whatever the quote was.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's one of those where, you know, everybody signs a non-disclosure agreement. You can't really talk about it. So you don't know if it's somebody who really, you know, just doesn't like Fox or the Deadpool franchise, or could have been anything. So it's nice to see that there's a second set of reviews coming out saying it's all positive.
Right.
You'd want to think that it's going to be as good as the first one, but you don't know because Tim Miller's not there to help write it and direct it this time around. So it could be completely different, which would be a shame.
Yeah.
Because the first one was so well done. But you know, we have to wait and find out, I guess.
Yeah. So, hopefully once it comes out, when's it coming out? We getting in May?
May, I think.
Yeah. I think it's Memorial Day. I want to say.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Either that. No, that might be. Yeah. Maybe it is, but it's coming out in May. So, you know, this is good. They're doing this at a great time. They can get it together and put it on there. And, you know, we won't feel like there's any, you know, slips or beat misses in the movie. So hopefully it turns out well for them.
Right.
Yeah. Next up, we got Fantastic Beasts 2. The trailer finally released this week. We got a little glimpse at Grindelwald and we got a little glimpse at Dumbledore and all my potheads rejoice. Yes. It is almost upon us.
Potheads.
So I really love the trailer. The trailer was great. We get to see Scamander. He's still there. And the trailer makes me feel like he still holds a very pivotal role in the storytelling. And that's what I was always afraid of with the sequel.
Right.
Is that we were going to kind of lose Newt in the shuffle of all the action. But he's Dumbledore's, like, go-to man, I guess, in this one. At least the way that they're setting it up. They're setting it up like he's kind of, like, on a mission. And Dumbledore is trying to, like, not show that they have any ties. Oh, he does his own thing type of deal. But Jude Law looks great as Dumbledore. Like, I really feel like he has the essence of the character. And it's just packaged in a younger form. Like, it looks great. Johnny Depp looks great as Grindelwald. We're seeing some familiar characters come back because I forgot the name of the guy that was like his friend in New York that he found. And he kind of went with him on this adventure. You know, we kind of felt like if you haven't seen the first one, check it out. We kind of felt like we lost him in the first one.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see that they're bringing him back for this one. So, yeah.
It should be pretty good. It looks like it's going to be a good one. I mean, look, most of the Harry Potter movies have been good, so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they've really missed out just yet, so this will, I think, will fall right in line with the other ones.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now the piece de resistance of the news. Infinity War. Oh, man. Like, I had some other, look, so I had some other news for the Infinity War. But none of that even matters right now because the trailer has been released. All the answers, like there's a behind the scenes featurette of the Wakandan battle. There was a TV spot which got completely blown out of the water now by this second trailer.
Yeah.
And And Josh Brolin made some comments that the film was really good, but clearly we know that. The trailer was awesome. So,
yeah.
Like, all of this has been fully encompassed in this trailer. So, yes.
It is literally one of the best trailers I've ever seen. The way it's put together and what they give you, what they don't give you.
Yep.
It's so good. I've watched it 6 or 7 times now. Yeah, I can't stop watching it. You know, when we're done, I'll probably watch it a couple more times.
Yep.
looking for things that I've missed or you know, whatever. It's just so well done.
Yeah, it really is.
The Russo brothers should do every superhero movie from here on out.
Just all of them. All of them.
Yep, every last one.
And it's like, yo, you know what was crazy is that there were some skeptics as far as their ability to tell stories within the superhero genre. When they signed on for Winter Soldier, right? They signed on for Winter Soldier, or was it Civil War? It was Winter Soldier. So when they signed on for Winter Soldier, everybody was kind of like, "Oh, I don't know these guys," because what are they? Didn't they do like comedy before this? They were doing comedy before this or something.
They did Arrested Development, and they did what else did they do? I can't remember now. I know they did Arrested Development, so they were doing that comedic wise.
Yeah.
Which was one of my favorite shows.
Trying to see what else.
I can't remember what else they've done.
Yeah, they've done like a series of, they've done like a couple of different comedies. You, Me, and Dupree. Merry Friggin' Christmas. yeah, that's what I'm seeing. It's just a whole bunch of comedies. LAX, they did a couple shows, LAX when that was on. Yeah, just all comedies. Community. So it's like these guys, Wilhouse is I don't care what anybody says, whether you're an actor or a director in comedy, when you make that transition to do more dramatic or, you know, more serious pieces, I see their work as being so much better than the standard. You know what I'm saying? You think about comedic actors that have made that transition from comedy to drama or thrillers, and it's always been gripping. Same things with directors. I mean, we just had Get Out win an Oscar for best screenplay. So right. It's like these comedic minds can tell. I feel like they get the human scope. So when they tell these stories, they tell them in a much more involved process. I feel like, because we talked about it the other day. Captain America Winter Soldier was the film. It's the film that legitimized the superhero genre.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like these guys pretty much, they proved themselves with Winter Soldier. And so they're here making Avengers Infinity War, and they'll be probably making Avengers movies here on out, and I am here for every bit of it. So
yeah, I mean, if Marvel's smart, they're gonna lock these guys up to keep moving forward in the, you know, in the next phase and whatnot.
Yeah,
you know, keep them on board because they're just, you know, they proved it with Winter Soldier, they proved it with Civil War, they're very clearly going to prove it even further with Infinity War. So
yep,
you know, they have James Gunn locked in a sense, you know, to help them run the future. Not necessarily making all the movies, but he's going to be part of everything, kind of running the space movies, so to speak.
Yeah. He's going to be so, assistant Kevin Feige.
Right. Which is actually a good way to put it. Which was the first smart move, and I think the next smart move will be getting the Russo brothers on board to keep moving forward also.
Yep. Yeah, man. So, I mean, this trailer had so many facets to it, so Let's talk theories. Let's talk theories.
Because
right. I'm sure the people are interested to know what the professor thought about some of the things we saw in this trailer.
So I have a few theories, including one I kind of came up with before we started here.
Oh, nice. New one.
So I will start with some of the other ones before I get to the end. So,
okay.
The first thing that I'm pretty sure is happening here is so... And some of this stuff could be potentially spoilerish, but we don't really know if this is what's going to happen. So,
right,
technically, it's not really spoilers. So, but if you don't want to hear it, stop listening. That's my point. So if you look at some of the promotional material and the Funko Pops and things that are coming out, you see that the Vision takes on a different set of colors in these materials. He's got more of a blue-purple look to him than the red-green that in the previous movies. We know at some point from the other trailers that he gets attacked by the Black Order and that they go after the gem that's in his forehead because it is, we know, one of the gems, the Mind Gem, I think.
Yeah, he has the Mind Gem.
He has the Mind Gem. So obviously Thanos wants that. There's a very popular theory that Vision is taken to Wakanda to be protected from Thanos and his gang. And it looks like that's where he's going to get attacked. Because in the one scene where they land in Wakanda, you see him coming off the ship and he's green and red still. What I believe happens is they take the gem from him and he either dies or just gets totally messed up. And to save him, they take him to Shuri, who I think is going to save him with the powered vibranium from Black Panther, thus nice. Causing his colors to change to the purplish blue colors of the plants and the things that the vibranium tends to make.
Nice.
So I think that's where it shifts for him. Because if you watch the trailer, there's a quick scene with Shuri where she's holding her hand out with one of those computer images like they have in Black Panther.
Yeah.
If you pause it, it's Vision's head that she's looking at. So either she's trying to figure out what the stone in his head is or she's trying to figure out how to save him. That's what I think is happening.
Right,
there.
Right.
So that's one of my theories, is that he's going to be infused with the vibranium and that's how he's going to survive.
Yeah.
Which I think in the comics he might have had some vibranium in him. I don't remember, though. I don't remember exactly. Second theory, you see a quick clip in the trailer of Thor's head being grabbed by Thanos and pulled forward. And then you kind of see a quick clip of what looks like Thor getting his head squeezed. And then there's a quick clip of Loki being surrounded by the Black Order. I think those clips are out of order. My theory here is that obviously we know Thanos gets on the ship with all the Asgardians and proceeds to either kill all the Asgardians except for Thor and Loki. Or, you know, they all go run and hide or whatever happens. He's taking over because he's coming for the stone. We know Loki has the Tesseract. We know the Tesseract is one of the stones. And that's what he's coming for. I think what's happening in this scene is I think the Black Order surround Loki to take the cube from him, to give it to Thanos, because you see him with it and you see him crush it in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think he beats the hell out of Thor, grabs him, pulls his head forward, and forces him to watch as the Black Order kills his brother. I think that's what happens real early on in the movie. Because if you watch, when you see it, when Thor's being pulled forward, his head's not really being squished. His eyes are closed and he's screaming, no. I think he's just watched his brother die. And now he's screaming no because his brother was just killed by the Black Order. And then what probably happens there is Thanos throws him out of the ship and that's how he meets up with the Guardians.
Right, right. Oh, man. So you know that's going to be an intense scene, too. Cause,
yes, it will.
Because the Hulk's going to be on that ship, too.
So the rumor is that the Hulk gets dispensed rather quickly.
Oh, wow.
And that he's dropped straight from the ship to Earth. And that's the scene in the trailer where you see him crashing through Strange's sanctum.
Yeah.
You know, he's as Banner, he's under the stairs. So that, I think, is kind of what leads to that. I think Thanos probably just takes him and pitches him out of the ship. And he falls to the Earth and that's what he gets from there.
Thanos is going to be that guy.
He's going to be that guy, man. He's going to ruin everything. My final theory is one of the final clips of the video is, or the video, the trailer is Thanos reaching for Captain America, grabbing his hand and stopping him. And Thanos kind of has this almost confused look on his face, like he's shocked that this mortal is able to keep his hand from getting to him.
Yeah.
So initially, you kind of thought that maybe, so my initial theory for this was that Captain America doesn't die in this movie. He it's a swerve. They want us to think that he dies there. I don't think he does. If he dies, I think it's going to be in part 4, which is next year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously not a guaranteed death yet anyway. Watching it again, I'm wondering if Cap has one of the stones.
Hmm.
And that's how he's able to actually fend Thanos off in that moment, that he's got the strength to do it. Because if, I mean, it's a very, look, it's a great Captain America-esque scene in the sense that he's just, the teeth are gritted, every muscle in his body is straining, and he's refusing to back down from this bully. Godlike figure. Bully, yeah,
This galactic bully. And you know how Cap feels about bullies.
Right. I won't be surprised in that scene if there's a "I could do this all day" quote. You know what I mean?
I would love that.
Somebody I read said that it looks like Cap is maybe trying to take the glove off Thanos' hand. I don't think so. It looks like Thanos is reaching for something. Like, he's not throwing a punch at Cap. We see him throw a punch in the trailer at some point.
Yeah.
He's not punching Cap. He's reaching for him. Almost like he's trying to take something from him. Which is what makes me wonder if he's got a stone and we just don't see it in the trailer, if it's been CGI'd out.
Uh-huh.
You know, like all the Thor trailers showed him with two eyes. And we know that he doesn't end the movie with two eyes. And there's scenes in the trailer where he's got both eyes, where in the movie he doesn't. So I'm wondering if there's some kind of spoiler. Initially, I thought maybe it was the Power Stone, but the purple gem is in Thanos' glove when you look at it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the Soul Stone, and he's, you know, Cap's soul and his willpower are enough to hold Thanos at bay temporarily, something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to think that he's maybe got one of the stones. Thanos is trying to take it from him, and he resists, and that's why he's able to hold him back.
Hmm.
Those are the theories that I have currently. I also think Spider-Man's going to play a big role in the movie. Only because of the way the trailer ends. You know what I mean? But if you think about it, all the characters you would end the trailer with, they end it with him.
Yeah.
Flipping through all the debris that's flying through the air. I think Peter's going to be a big part of this movie at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to carry us into the next saga. And I think that's what they want. Because when you really think about it, as far as team-ups go in the comics, traditionally, Spider-Man has had the most team-ups with most of the Marvel Universe.
That was the comic series. It was Marvel team-up. It was Spider-Man and somebody else.
Yeah, right.
It ran forever, yeah.
So it's like, it would not surprise me if Spider-Man is going to end up being the focal point of Saga 2. So I'd be interested to see how they mold and shape him into that next generation of Avengers that's going to come up. So,
yeah, it's going to be good. It's definitely going to be good. That's for sure.
Yeah. If there's a couple of things in this trailer that I really liked. One is Thanos doesn't necessarily come off to me as a quote unquote purely evil villain. He comes off to me like a man on a mission. You know what I'm saying? And he's doing what he's doing because he feels justified in what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Most villains feel this way, but like he actually thinks that what he's doing is right for the universe. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a mention of wiping out half of humanity, you know, a couple of times throughout the trailer. And he's like, you know, I'm going to leave half. That's how it should be. It should be balanced. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, even there's a point where it looks like he's fighting Tony Stark or fighting Iron Man. But he's like, it's like a quote that's directed at Tony Stark. He's like, you know, what did he say? He said something along the lines of like, I hope
they remember you.
Yeah, I hope they remember you. Like, there's respect. There's esteem there. That may not even be for Tony Stark. That may be for Cap. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, these are two characters. These are two characters that have been, like, you know, columns within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And Thanos is showing respect to one of them. You know what I'm saying? Or somebody within that team. So it's like, for him to be able to, you know, do what he's doing, but still show a level of respect for the people that he's fighting, like, he doesn't come off like a villain, he comes off like a general. Like, he's fighting in a war, he believes that his side is the right side. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's interesting to see just the little facets of Thanos' character and personality just in this small trailer. Another part that I liked just is the comedy. It's going to be the comedy, the light moments. Like Peter Quill and Tony Stark, like Tony Stark's look on his face as Peter Quill's telling him basically that Peter Quill's telling Tony that his plan sucks. And, you know, I'm going to make the plan and it's going to be a right one. And he's just like, Tony's just like, wow. I think in that moment, he's like, this is how I sound to you guys?
That whole part of the trailer is hilarious. It's just, we'll talk about your plan. I think it's great, but it also sucks. So how about I make the plan so it doesn't suck? Wait, what?
And meanwhile, Peter Parker is just sitting there just watching.
Taking it all in.
It's like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is, but
I think part of that is like Spider-Man, but I think part of the look on Spider-Man's face is Tom Holland.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just sitting there like fanboying with these two actors. Oh, man. And then, you know, for the final scene, like you said, with Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, and, you know, Peter's like, he was like, hey, my name's Peter Parker. And, like, you know, like, one thing I have to say, like, in the comics, like, Peter has, for somebody that's supposed to have a secret identity, he has no problem telling people who he is.
Yeah. Kind of feels like Arrow.
Yeah.
Or The Flash on TV.
Oh, man.
I need to keep my identity secret. Why does 17 people know who you are, Barry?
It's like, just tell everybody. Just tell everybody. You done told 20 people, but you couldn't tell everybody in the courtroom because
right?
You had to maintain. Like, now you want to maintain your identity.
Right. Now you want to maintain it. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. But I digress. Whew. Oh, man. But that last scene was hilarious. He looks at Doctor Strange and he's like, oh, my name is Peter Parker. What's your name? He's like, Doctor Strange. He says, oh, we're using our special names. Okay. That's so Spider-Man right
there. That's very Spider-Man. Yep.
He's like, oh, well, I'm Spider-Man. And he just so said it was. And the doc's like, whatever. Like,
he's going to give him that look like, really, kid? Really?
Oh, man. I feel like Rhodes at one point in the movie is going to be like, Jesus, Tony, how young is this guy?
Again, yeah, exactly.
There's
going to be some kind of Rhodey scene where he's just looking at everybody like, what the F are you people doing?
And I'm really hoping, like, because there's been a couple scenes I've seen of Rhodey, and he still has that kind of, like, harness strapped right to him. I'm hoping when they come to Wakanda that Shuri can resolve all that, because that just kind of sucks.
I'm sure something will come up from that when they're there. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's dig into this special item today. So we've been doing this special edition fan casting where last week we did, we put DC actors into Marvel Cinematic Universe roles. This week we're going to be doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and we're going to be putting DC actors into these roles.
Right.
So, well, I guess we'll just go line by line and tell you our fan cast. We'll try and keep it around to the main cast. And if we feel like it, we'll do some bonus characters.
Yeah, just give you what I got. My stuff's a little all over the place, but you know, I think for the most part, I got most of the main actors from the DC universe anyway.
All right. So, who you want to start us off with?
Well, I think we can start with probably the one that is probably going to be just about maybe the only one of two that we're going to agree on that we're going to pick the same.
Right, right.
I think we'll go with Captain America first. The obvious choice, he'd probably have to dye his hair, but I think the obvious choice for Captain America is Henry Cavill.
Right, right.
Which is odd, you know, considering that Henry Cavill is British. But there's nobody in the DC universe who looks more like what Captain America, you'd expect Captain America to look like than Henry Cavill. I think he would just be the guy who would step over, dye his hair blonde, and become Steve Rogers.
Right, right. So, all right. So, Henry Cavill was my second pick,
but he was
not my first choice.
And oh,
it took a while because I put Cavill somewhere else, and it primarily is because he's British and because of his stature. So for me, I put Captain America, Steve Rogers. I put Joel Kinnaman in the role of Steve Rogers, and he played Rick Flagg in Suicide Squad. But he's lately been doing Altered Carbon on Netflix. And I'm really liking this guy's role. Like, he has, like, a very big stature. He's great at action. And he has like this kind of like snarkiness, like I'm going to persevere through all types of odds type of energy that I got from Chris Evans as Captain America, especially in the first Avenger. So I would lean more on Joel Kinnaman probably trying that role just to see what he would do. But Henry Cavill was definitely my second pick, and it's just because Cap and Superman have so many similarities. It's just All right, let me see. What are we gonna pick now? Let's do okay. So this might be the other one. No, this I don't know. Let's go into Thor. Let's go into Thor, and we'll do Loki. So Loki was originally played by Tom Hiddleston. So who did you cast as Loki?
So I pulled. It took me a couple minutes to think of it, but I pulled the old character swap essentially.
Okay,
I had Tom Hiddleston as the Joker, so in turn, I have Jared Leto as Loki.
Yeah.
I think he's the one who kind of fits the best. Yeah. I hated his Joker. I really did, but I think he would actually be a really good Loki because he's kind of very similar to Hiddleston and his facial expressions and the way he's able to kind of turn on a dime. So I went with Leto for Loki.
Yeah, especially if he pulls from the character that he played in Blade Runner 2049. Yes. Yep. He would be a great Loki. Yeah,
he'd be very definitely. Good. Yeah. So the next one we probably would agree on would almost definitely have to be Drax.
Yes.
So with Drax, I went with the person who was the original other option for Drax, who I kind of still think would have been better.
Uh-huh.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa would have slaughtered as Drax. I would have loved to have seen that. Not that I don't like Batista, I do. I just think there's something Momoa would have brought, a little something different that might have been a little bit better to that character.
Yeah. And my hope is that they would have kept Drax with his long locks, with the long locks of Jason Momoa. That would have been perfect for me. Either that or just put the dreaded wig on him that he wore in, what was it? Stargate Atlantis? Yeah, where he plays a character called Ronan. And that character he played in that show would be a dead ringer for Drax. So
gotcha.
Yeah. I would go with that.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. Let's slide down this list. See who's the next. Oh, okay. So let's do Cap. Let's do In the Cap World again. Let's do In the Cap World again. We'll go to Winter Soldier. Two characters I'm going to do from there. So first up, we're going to do Bucky. So who would you pick for Bucky Barnes?
I'll be honest with you, I did not pick a Bucky Barnes. I could not come up with someone that I really liked. I initially had thought Affleck, but I don't know that I like Affleck in the role of Bucky Barnes. I think where I put Affleck might work out a little bit better.
Okay.
But I honestly could not come up with anybody for Bucky Barnes from the DC universe.
Okay. All right, for me... I pulled from Suicide Squad again. So for me, Bucky Barnes would have been played by Jai Courtney, who plays Captain Boomerang in Suicide Squad. And I think the guy I've seen him on Spartacus, and I've seen him do. I mean, it wasn't like the most critically received Die Hard, but he was in Die Hard as Bruce Willis's son. I think he carried the action well. He has like a very like brooding type of character in that movie. I think it would have played well for Bucky Barnes. But yeah, like we said, this is a very difficult process.
This was a tough one. Yeah.
So the second character in Winter Soldier, let's do Black Widow, Natasha Romanoff.
Okay.
Played by Scarlett Johansson. So who did you pick?
I picked Amber Heard
for Black Widow. I was trying to figure that out. It was between two actresses, and I was having the hardest time, but I thought Amber Heard was perfect.
I thought Amber Heard would be great. Yeah. She's got the right look. She can do that kind of swagger the Black Widow walks around with. I think Amber Heard would have been great.
Yeah. So for me, Amber Heard ended up being my second pick, but I picked Margot Robbie for Black Widow. I think she would have been able to carry the action well, and there's like there's a role that she played with Will Smith in this movie called Focus.
Right.
That was very much a Black Widow-esque type of player. She was a grifter, and a con, and she played the mess out of Will Smith's character in that movie. And I think that would carry over well as far as Black Widow.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Let's see. All right, well, I can continue with kind of the same theory that, well, the same actor that you just mentioned.
Okay.
Who would you pick for Rhodey?
Who would I pick for Rhodey? Okay.
Yes.
So Rhodey for me was easy, but it was difficult. It depends on at what point do you want to play.
Okay.
Rhodey. So if you want to play Rhodey as older, if you want to play him as like the straight man to Tony Stark's like wild child, I would have leaned on Harry Lennox, and he was on Man of Steel. He played the colonel or the general, one of them, and he was in Justice League as well. He was like sitting at the park bench talking to Lois Lane, giving her the bullet and all of that good stuff. So I would either lean on Harry Lennox, but Will Smith was my second. Well, not my second. It just depended on where you wanted to play him.
It's funny because Will Smith was my choice. I just think he's got that kind of,
yeah,
that ability to do both sides, the kind of, right, to be very Don Cheadle-esque, let's say.
Yeah.
With the tough side to him and the funny side to him. So I went, right. I also went with Will Smith was my pick.
Yeah, he still would have been a solid straight man for Tony Stark. So yeah. I think Will Smith was, yeah, Will Smith was probably on the top of my list too.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm just gonna pick somebody random up here. All right. So let's do Bruce Banner, the Hulk. So who are you picking to play Bruce Banner?
Another one I couldn't pick. It's awful. There's so many characters that I could not. I couldn't pick a Winter Soldier. I couldn't pick a Banner. I couldn't pick a Thor, and I couldn't pick a Tony Stark.
Okay.
All the other characters I have are all from Marvel. I couldn't fill in this guy. I couldn't justifiably put somebody in those roles from the DCU because I just don't think most of the actors in DCU are fit for those roles. So I have nobody for the Hulk. Who did you pick?
Okay. All right. So what we'll do for the next couple ones, we'll do the ones that you couldn't pick anybody for, because I picked people for all those roles.
All right. Well, we'll let you pick or go through yours. Then we'll move on. Go ahead.
All right. So for Bruce Banner, I picked from a movie that hasn't even been released yet. I picked from Aquaman. And I cast Patrick Wilson as Bruce Banner. Now, Patrick Wilson, I want to say, what else has he been on? Patrick Wilson's been on a couple things, but he's always kind of like, he's always kind of like a dry humor, kind of like, you know, rigid type of guy. He comes off to me like a very Bruce Banner-esque character. He's been on The Conjuring. He's been on Insidious. He was on Watchmen. He was on Watchmen. I forgot what character
he was. Owlman.
Yeah, he was Owlman in Watchmen. Yeah. Yeah. So, he's had a couple of roles. He was on the A-Team. He was the government man.
Right. He's Lynch. Yeah.
He was the government man. So he's had a couple of roles that's brought him to the spotlight. And so for me, his character plays off very well as a Bruce Banner Hulk type of guy. Because I was having a difficult time casting him. I thought I was going to cast him as Hawkeye, but I ended up casting somebody else as Hawkeye.
Okay. I didn't cast Hawkeye either.
So who was the... All right, so Thor was the other guy that you didn't cast.
Thor, Tony Stark, and now Hawkeye, the other three that I didn't cast.
Okay. So Thor... I put, who did I put in Thor? Henry Cavill. I put Henry Cavill as Thor. Because I thought that with him, with the stature that he has and the ability to do the things that he does, like Superman and Thor kind of like have the same kind of presence for me as far as abilities are concerned. They're like the heavy hitters. And you know, it helps that Cavill has a very great British accent for Thor. So,
well, he is British, so
yeah. Difference. Well, not British accent, but yeah. I mean, his
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean, yeah. But but yeah, he would be perfect as Thor.
Okay.
I would see him more as Thor than I would see him as Cap, so that's why I kind of put him in this area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair. Right, so who'd you pick for Hawkeye? Because I'm gonna grill you on the last one because it better be good.
All right, yeah, because you're gonna grill me on this one, but I'll give you my Hawkeye. I picked. I want to say Jay Hernandez, and Jay Hernandez plays El Diablo in Suicide Squad.
Okay,
but he's had like tons of other roles where he plays like this snarky type of in your face character, straight to business. And I think he would bring a lot of qualities over to playing Clint that we would enjoy, I think.
It's fair. All right, so the last one. This is the important one. I need to know who you picked for Tony Stark.
Okay. Are you ready?
All right. I think so.
So Tony Stark, for me, has to be somebody that's still going to have that cocky flyboy attitude, but still make me believe that he can be the smartest person in the room.
Okay.
I saw this guy play this kind of role in another movie.
Oh, see, now you're already defending it too early, but go ahead.
So I am going to go with the man who was in Wonder Woman, Chris Pine.
Interesting. I don't hate it. I'll be honest with you. I don't hate it. Although, I did cast Chris Pine somewhere that I think he might be a better fit for. This is my opinion, obviously.
I think I know who you casted him as.
Yeah, I think it's kind of obvious. I put Chris Pine as Star-Lord.
Right. Because he's basically Captain Kirk.
He's basically Captain Kirk. He's basically Chris Pratt in a smaller body, essentially, is what it comes down to with Chris Pine. So that's right, Ben. But I don't hate him as Tony Stark. I'll be honest with you. It'd be different. It'd be very different. But I don't hate him as Tony Stark. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I think he could pull it off. I think he could pull it off. So yeah. So just to go off of what you just said, so you casted him as Star-Lord. For me,
I did.
Since I didn't have him. Since I moved him into the Tony Stark role, I cast Scott Eastwood as Star-Lord. And Scott Eastwood, he's played in a couple Westerns. He was in Suicide Squad. So he kind of plays like the rowdy, like, you know, Wild West-esque type of cowboy-esque type of character. And I think Peter Quill was like a cowboy type character.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't get your love of Scott Eastwood.
I
think Scott Eastwood is terrible. I don't see it. I don't know what it is. I just don't see it.
You say keep that man away.
Keep that man away from my Marvel movies. I don't see it. But,
you know what? You know what?
Your pick, not mine.
He's leaning. He leans more because he looks like his father. He looks a lot like his dad, and it's like, if he could really capture that lightning in a bottle, like that presence that his dad had on screen, he could be dangerous.
He could be dangerous, all right. that I won't argue.
Oh, man. Okay.
All right, so let's see. Who else do I have sitting here then that we haven't talked about yet? Did you cast Scarlet Witch?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Might be similar on this one. I think I kind of cheated on this one, but I went with Cara. I never know how to pronounce her last name. Delvine? How do you pronounce her last name?
I almost casted her as Scarlet Witch.
She seems to me, I think, would be the best fit to slide kind of right in there.
Right,
just
right.
Put out the goofball dancing from Suicide Squad.
She was spazzing, man. She was spazzing.
Looks like she was having a seizure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would go with Cara Delevingne. I think she'd be the right choice for Scarlet Witch.
Okay. All right. So for me, for this role, this is where I put Amber Heard. I put Amber Heard as Scarlet Witch. Because I thought that she might have a better opportunity to flex her chops in this one. And I would like to see that. I would like to see her bounce off of my pick for the Vision.
Which is?
My pick for the Vision is Mark Strong. And he's going to be in Shazam.
Okay.
And I think he would make an incredible Vision. So.
You know, I can't argue with that. I cast Jarvis. I didn't cast Vision.
Oh, okay.
When I cast Jarvis, I went with Jeremy Irons. Because there's not going to be a better voice
in
the DC Universe for Jarvis than Jeremy Irons. But I didn't think ahead about Vision, you know, Jarvis becoming Vision. So.
Yeah.
Mark Strong would be an excellent choice for that. Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
It's funny though because I cast Jeremy Irons because I wanted him in a role that I felt like it was hard because I want to see him, but then his voice and his ability would translate better for certain actors for certain roles. So it's like I picked him for the Collector. I picked him for the Collector, even though the Collector doesn't have a lot of screen time. I think it would have made a huge impact if Jeremy Irons, because I think Benicio del Toro did really good as the Collector, and he made him like this just random character, but like he made an impact when he was on screen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I would definitely like to see Jeremy Irons.
So what else do I have in here? Let's see. So you had already mentioned Margot Robbie. I did cast Margot Robbie. I actually cast her as Nebula. I think she would be pretty good as Nebula. It'd be a little bit different, but I think she would make a really, really good Nebula. I think with that kind of wacko that you get from Harley Quinn, I think she could turn that to a little bit more serious and play that with Nebula on the same switch. I think she'd be pretty good there.
Yeah. See, now Nebula, that's where I put Cara Delevingne. That's where I put her.
That's fair.
So I put her there because I felt like that kind of like melodramatic type of character that Nebula was in Guardians would carry that pretty well.
Okay. I can see that. I got like six left here. Let's see.
Okay.
So who'd you put for Spider-Man?
Ezra Miller.
Okay. We agree on that one.
Yeah. I put Ezra Miller because I mean Flash was basically Spider-Man.
Basically, yeah. I'm not a big Ezra Miller fan, and I would hate to see him as Spider-Man, but I think of everybody in their cast, I think he fits the best as that particular character. So I agree there. I went with Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
Who else we got? Okay, so did you cast Pepper Potts?
I did not cast Pepper Potts. I was trying to, but I couldn't figure it out.
Amy Adams. I think is the best for Pepper Potts. Yeah. She just kind of seems to fit that right role. And I like her a lot more than I like, what's her face anyway? Gwyneth Paltrow. So I think Amy Adams.
Dang, you don't like Gwyneth Paltrow.
I don't like Gwyneth Paltrow at all. She's just. So what else you got? I still got four left. But what else do you have on your list? You have anybody else on your list still?
All right. So who do I have left? I have T'Challa. I have Shuri. I have M'Baku. I have.
Anybody you didn't cast from Black Panther?
Okoye.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. One.
Just one. I even cast the Queen Mother.
Of course you did.
I got Gamora.
Okay. I have Gamora. Who'd you pick for Gamora?
I picked Gal Gadot.
There we go. We match on that one too. That's exactly why I picked.
Yeah, Gal Gadot would make a great Gamora.
She would.
I think she'd have been perfect.
Yeah, she'd be able to kind of use the Wonder Woman stuff and turn into a really good Gamora at the same time.
Yeah. Did you cast Thanos?
I did not.
Oh, God, you're going to hate me for this.
I refused to cast one of my favorite all-time Marvel villains with the actors from the DCEU, but I will listen and more than likely destroy your choice, but go ahead.
You're going to hate me for this. I know you are. All right.
If you say Jesse Eisenberg, I'm disconnecting from this podcast right now.
Oh, no, don't do it. That was my pick. It's like, no, I'm just playing. No,
I was going to say.
My pick for Thanos is a character that's going to be in Aquaman. Dolph Lundgren. I cast Dolph Lundgren as Thanos.
No. I'm just going to say no and not another word. No.
No, you can't see it? You can't see it? I think I can see it.
No. Fortunately, no, I can't see it.
Dolph Lundgren. Oh, man. I'm just going to just let you guys know this. We're doing this fan cast, but I would never watch this movie.
No, we've already agreed to that. We would never watch any of these movies with this particular cast. There's only a handful of them that would actually translate well. The rest of them would be absolutely terrible.
Yeah, only a handful. Oh, I got Doctor Strange. Did you get Doctor Strange?
I did not get a Doctor Strange. I actually didn't even think of it. I would have tried.
Yeah, I cast Saeed Taghmoui. I think that's how you say his name. He was in Wonder Woman. He was one of like the supporting cast. Like,
oh, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, a little kind of squirrely guy almost.
Yeah, yeah, I think he would be a good Doctor Strange.
He might be pretty good.
I've seen him in some other stuff. He would actually be good. If he wasn't in Wonder Woman, I would have casted him as Dr. Fate. So
okay,
yeah.
Did you do Falcon?
Yes.
Okay, we might be similar on that one as well.
Yeah, yeah, that one's Ray Fisher. That one's the guy who plays Cyborg. Yeah,
the guy who played Cyborg fits. I think he would do really well as Falcon as well.
Yeah, definitely. So definitely.
I only have two left, so I'll name my two characters and see. I don't know if you have done either one of these, but then I'll let you finish up your list after that.
Okay.
So I cast General Ross. I cast Thunderbolt Ross, and only because I can't put him as JJJ, I put in J.K. Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
Because technically JJJ wasn't part of the MCU yet.
Not yet.
There was nobody better and never will be anybody better than J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson.
He was born for it.
But I figure, you know, as much as I love William Hurt as General Ross, mm-hmm. I think J.K. Simmons would be just as good.
He really would. Right. Yeah.
So the last character I cast was Nicholas J. Fury.
Oh, snap.
Did you cast Nick Fury?
I did not cast Fury.
Okay. This was tough for me to pick this actor. It goes back to the original Nick Fury.
Oh, let me see if I can guess real quick before you do it. Nope, okay. I can't do it.
I picked Affleck to play Nick Fury.
Oh, man. That's really good.
I think Affleck would be an awesome Nick Fury. The written out, of course, not like, the current Nick Fury.
No,
but the original
yeah.
Nick Fury, the eye patch cigar chomping white guy. I think Affleck would be great as Nick Fury.
Yo, he really would. That's good. That's good. And he's got the salt and pepper now, so it works.
That's exactly where it came from. Because I legitimately couldn't put him anywhere else. And I like Ben Affleck. I'm one of the few who actually likes Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
But I could not come up with a better role for him anywhere because he just doesn't, his acting style didn't fit.
Yeah.
The more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? He'd be a damn good Nick Fury.
Some of the personalities and the roles that he's taken would lead me to put him as Dr. Stephen Strange, but he just doesn't have the build for it. I wouldn't put him in that build, you know, so, yeah. So, all right, let me run down the characters that I picked that I have left over here.
Okay.
So, for T'Challa, I cast Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, and he's going to be in Aquaman. He's going to be playing Black Manta. Yeah, he had a couple. He was on Baywatch, unfortunately.
Oh, I know who you picked from M'Baku. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So I picked him for T'Challa. For Shuri, I picked Kiersey Clemons, and that was just kind of like she's there. She's the young girl, so she might as well be there. And she's supposed to be playing Iris West in the Flashpoint, but we don't know at this point. I mean, Flashpoint has been in production limbo for the past couple of months.
So. We don't even know if Ezra Miller is going to be in Flashpoint at this point.
Can always get Grant Gustin.
That's what they should have done.
Yep. Let's take a look. Who else do I got here? All right. So M'Baku, I put
go ahead.
Never mind. I said for M'Baku, I cast Adewale. He played Killer Croc in Suicide Squad.
Now, come on. If you're going to cast... No, seriously. If you're going to cast M'Baku, how do you not pick Dwayne Johnson?
Oh, snap. No, you know what? No, I just really wouldn't put The Rock in there. I wouldn't put The Rock as M'Baku. Nah.
Man, I think you're wrong. I think The Rock would crush as M'Baku.
See, like, don't let Killer Croc fool you. Okay, Adewale has some chops, and he would kill it as M'Baku.
Would he be asking for BET so he could watch? Yeah.
That was not a highlight in his career. Okay?
No,
that
was the past. It wasn't a highlight in anybody's career.
Oh, man. No, because The Rock, where did I want to put The Rock? I don't know. I just didn't feel like any of these characters would allow The Rock to do his thing.
I think M'Baku would, to be honest with you. That's how
that's I thought. That's who I should have put as Thanos. The Rock.
No. Can't have as Thanos either. God. He can play the Hulk. He doesn't have to play Banner. He can play the Hulk.
He can just play the Hulk. I mean, yeah. He's already done it.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I will let you finish.
Oh, let me see. Who else do I have left? Scott Lang, Ant-Man. Zachary Levi. Because he's playing
Shazam.
That's a
good choice. That's a real good choice. I hadn't even thought about that. That's a real good choice.
Yeah. And Rocket Raccoon, voiced by Willem Dafoe.
You know what? That's pretty good, too.
I'm saying, yo.
I hadn't even thought about that either, but that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Oh, man. But I think that's it for me. I couldn't figure everybody else out, so.
Well, you went a lot deeper than I did, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just basically pulled the cast from Infinity War and just started plugging names in.
That's funny.
Oh, man. But yeah, so that's it for the special item.
That was rough, but we did it.
That was definitely the hardest task I feel like I've ever had to do. Oh, man.
Oh, snap.
All right, so what's coming out this week? We got two items that are coming out this week, one for TV, one for film. TV this week, we're having the sci-fi series Krypton is debuting this week. I don't know, man. I'm just not excited about this one. I'm not.
I'm not either, to be honest with you. I haven't seen anything in the trailers that made me really think this is going to be something special. It just looks like a show they threw together. Like, it's a Kryptonian show without Superman. Like, what's the point?
Right, right.
Like, nobody. Well, let's be honest. Most fans don't care what happened on Krypton. They care about Superman. That's all it is.
It's like, who asked for this? Who asked for this?
Yeah, exactly. So. I don't have any intentions of really getting too deep into that one.
Yeah. And as far as geek films that are coming out this weekend, we got Pacific Rim Uprising, which is starring John Boyega, coming back as Jake Pentecost, the son of Stacker Pentecost, who was played by Idris Elba in the first Pacific Rim. Basically, he's just reuniting with Mako Mori, who was Stacker's trainee, his apprentice in the first one, to lead a new generation of Jaeger pilots. And we got some bigger what do they call them? Kaijus. We got some bigger kaijus.
Right.
They're evolving, they're getting smarter. And this one's directed by Stephen S. DeKnight, and I believe he's directed some of the Netflix Marvel series. Can't remember which one though.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know. The trailer looks good. It looks like it's going to be entertaining. I don't think it's going to be like, I don't think it's going to capture the fire of the first, but maybe it will. Because the first one was a sleeper hit. Nobody really thought it was going to be good, and then everybody had to spread it by word of mouth. So I'm assuming that's going to be the same deal with this one.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't look terrible, but I wasn't a huge fan of the first one.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's probably not one that I'll go check. I'll probably wait till it comes out. But
yeah,
could potentially be a good one. A spoiler.
Yeah.
Or not a spoiler. Dark Horse or something. You know, along those lines.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like Dark Horse or something.
Yeah, I can't think of exactly what I was looking for, but yeah, could surprise us.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, let's do some reviews today.
Okay.
Got a couple things that came out. I'll do the game review first because it's pretty light. So Assassin's Creed just released a DLC for Assassin's Creed Origins. It's called Curse of the Pharaoh. Basically, right. the way that they set this thing up, man, it feels like a whole new game because there's a whole new aspect to the storytelling that they're doing. So basically, you're in Thebes. You take Bayek and you're in Thebes, and you travel between the land of the living and you travel to the afterlife. So you right. ease back and forth out of both of those. So it's like the telling of that story with the insertion of the pharaohs that appear randomly over the map in the land of the living and just slaughter folk and villages and stuff.
Yeah.
Yo, it's crazy, man. I'm really liking it.
Big ass scorpions all over the place.
Yeah, huge scorpions. So I'm definitely, did you get a chance to check it out? Did you get a chance to play it yet?
I think I'm about halfway through.
Okay.
I just, sorry, let's see how I can put this without giving away too much. I just revived someone.
Okay.
After using the water to cleanse myself.
Nice, nice.
If you know where I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So that's where I am now. I don't know how much further there is to go, but that's the spot where I'm at now.
Yeah, I'm really liking the new weapons. The new weapons are good. They expanded the levels to go up to 50.
I think that's right.
Yeah, it's like 50 now. So it the difficulty is still up there. So it's like it's like playing the game fresh all over again. So you know, if you have Origins and you don't have the season pass, get the season pass or just get this download. It's really worth it.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it,
man. I would say so.
Yeah. So let's talk about some TV. We got Jessica Jones Season 2. I just managed to wrap that up last night, so I am completely done watching it. Yeah, so I know, Professor, you were not feeling it.
I wasn't. I didn't like it as much. There were a couple spots that I did enjoy. Like the first couple episodes I liked.
Uh-huh.
And then with the, try to do it spoiler free, the reappearance of a certain character later on for an episode or two,
mm-hmm.
I thought picked the episodes up when he showed up.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't have said that, but whatever. but the rest of the season, I just wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling the story. It doesn't help that I'm not a big Kristen Ritter fan.
Uh-huh.
I don't think she's terrible. I just think there could have been somebody better for that role.
Okay.
But I wasn't a fan of some of the turns the story took and the basic general plot line behind the whole thing. I thought it was kind of hokey. You know, like you said, I realized it led to a better background story for Jessica, which is fine, but I think there might have been a better way to do that than the way they did it.
Okay.
I'll watch it through again, see if maybe it's anything about it changes my mind, but I wasn't the biggest fan.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I really enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. I like where they went this season as far as the characters were concerned. You know, some of the old characters like what's his name, Malcolm, her neighbor.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Malcolm. Where Jessica went, where Patsy went, or whatever her actual name is in the show. It's not Patsy. It's
Trish.
Trish Walker. Yeah. So, you know, getting to see these characters go down the routes that they go, this is like, and for them to still maintain the noir aspect of the storytelling that they're doing, I really appreciated that. I didn't think that they were going to be able to do that a second season out. So it was good to see them still maintain those like dark, you know, mystery elements of the storytelling that they had from season one. Jessica is an interesting character for me. I think I don't think I was as interested in her season one as I am now, because I feel like after experiencing everything in season one and then having that as the backdrop for season two, it's just like, yo, man, you really start to appreciate, like, yo, her life sucks. It's like, it's horrible. Like, just when you think like she's good, like she can get some kind of semblance of peace, it's just like something else that drags her deeper into the abyss. Like I see why she has those bottles on her shelf. like constantly stocked. Like it's rough.
I will tell you one of my favorite parts, and it's so minor, but I love the fact that technically at this point there's only one character who's shown up in every series.
Right.
I think he was in Defenders.
Yeah, he was.
And that's Turk.
Yep.
Turk shows up in every, and he's just the biggest scuzzball. When it comes down to it, he's just out for himself. But he's the guy who's playing him is so good at it.
He really is.
And it's just, it's great to see him pop up in all these different series and different spots. He shows up for like 10 seconds and he's gone, but he's just perfect in those little 10 second spurts.
The thing I think I can appreciate about Turk is that he is consistent.
Yes.
You do not have to work. You don't have to guess with Turk. You know what I'm saying?
No, you know which side he's going to be on. He's going to be on Turk's side. Yeah. No matter what it is, he's on Turk's side.
Yep. Oh, but man.
He's just that low-level street thug that can get you whatever you want, get you all that information. He's just an awesome character. So I love the fact that he popped up in the series as well.
Yeah. I love the changes that they brought these characters through this season. I think, and then watching Jerry's story arc, Jerry's character arc was interesting to me because it really went to some low places, and then it got really hopeful, and then it just got really dark again. And it was just like, the ups and downs were crazy, but it was so rewarding to, and you know, what's her name, Carrie Ann Moss?
Carrie Ann Moss, yep.
Carrie Ann Moss, man, yo, I forgot how much I missed her. Like, she played Trinity in Matrix, but I was like, yo, I was like, I wish I could see something else that she's in. I know she has, like, something else that she was a
Memento.
Part of. Yeah.
She was in Memento, which is a great movie. It's a tough watch, but it's a great movie.
Yeah, man. But she is always a pleasure to see on screen, and she kills it as Jerry. And where her character goes and the potential for the future is pretty limitless. I hope we see her on Luke Cage.
I was disappointed because there was one character that, how do I say this? One character. So the next season of Daredevil season 3 is based roughly on a storyline called Born Again, which is an old Frank Miller series. That's an amazing series. The premise of Born Again is, the Kingpin finds out who... This isn't a spoiler because the comic's been out for years. So if you say spoiler, shut up. The Kingpin finds out who Daredevil is. And it's Karen's fault. Because we see there's been some time has passed. Karen, unfortunately, has become a druggie. And the beginning of the comic finds her selling Daredevil's real name to score drugs.
Wow.
This information finds its way back to the Kingpin, who proceeds to systematically destroy Matt Murdock's life piece by piece. He goes through his friends, he goes through his job, and he finally gets through everything. And the kicker about it all is Murdock has no idea why it's happening. He can't figure it out.
Sheesh.
And there's this epic panel about halfway through the series, maybe a little bit like three quarters, where the Kingpin blows up his brownstone, blows up his apartment. And I'm guessing this is going to be in the show because it's an epic scene. It's a great panel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Daredevil on his knees with his suit in his hands. And the thought bubble says nothing more than, it was a great piece of work, Kingpin. You shouldn't have signed it. He figures it out in that moment that the Kingpin is behind everything.
Oh, wow.
And then it just goes from there. But there is a character at the end of the series who we've seen in the TV series who is tremendously important, and he's not going to get there for reasons I won't get into unless you've watched the show. So I'm disappointed in that sense that he's not going to make it to the Daredevil 3 because the character's supposed to be there. Now, they could redo it as somebody else, or they could just not do it at all. But I was a little disappointed that he's not going to continue.
Yeah.
But the one thing I am hopeful for, crossing my fingers, is one of the bigger characters in the Born Again storyline is Bullseye. So we better see Bullseye in Daredevil Season 3 or I'm going to be very upset.
Nice. Yeah, hopefully we get to see Bullseye because it's been a long time coming. So
Yeah,
man. So definitely, I definitely think Jessica Jones is worth a look. If you're still on the edge about it, check it out. It's worth it. Story, spilling out the story is always good. Especially as we're moving forward, we don't know if there's going to be multiple Defenders or whatever the case is going to happen with Netflix, the Netflix universe, once the saga is over. But, yeah. You know, Jessica Jones, I think, is worth a look, if nothing else, just to be a part of the conversation. So, yeah. I think that is all I have for today, because Tomb Raider just came out and I have not seen it yet, so.
I have not either. It does look pretty good. I'm curious. I may go see it, but I have not seen it yet either. So
yeah, I'm definitely trying to check that out. So, you know, hopefully while I'm off, they got a movie theater where I'm supposed to be at, so I can go check something out. So, yeah, man. So that is it for us today at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook, The Boss's Desk, Twitter, at The Boss's Desk, and YouTube, The Boss's Desk. We also have this podcast being housed on Google Play and on iTunes. You can hit the subscribe. If you're first time listeners, we appreciate you for subscribing and listening to us and taking us with you on your daily travels or just chilling at the office trying to make it through the day. So if you have any questions about anything that you heard in the show or any news and you want the bosses to talk about it, or you want us to add some news items, just send us your questions on Twitter. You can just tweet at the Boss's Desk, or you can just send us an email at questions@thebossesdesk.com. We'll take a look at your comments, questions, and you might hear us share it on the Geek News of the Week. So, yeah, that's it for the Big Boss and the Professor. Guys, we are out. Catch you later.
See ya.